This morning I want to use some scripture from the Old Testament, and I was looking after I got up here. There was one more person that I needed to find, and I didn't find it real quick, so I guess I'll just have to let it go. I know it was one of the old prophets the Lord spoke to, and he said unto him, I want you to go down there and preach to these people, and they'll not believe you. Because they'll not believe me, the Lord said. And so I think sometimes that we preachers need to understand that many times as we preach the word, that people are not going to believe it. And it's not always lost people. It's many times it's God's people who aren't going to believe it. First of all, it isn't because they aren't going to believe us, but it's because they don't believe him. And some of you are already thinking, well, now I question that. But I can guarantee you this morning that every single one of us have times in our lives whenever that we don't believe the Lord. And we decide that we're going to do things our way. And we're going to do them on our own. In the Old Testament, as the children of Israel were coming up out of the land of Egypt time and again, as a matter of fact, the Lord says 10 times, I've tried to, to help you people, and I've proved myself to you, and I've taken care of you, and still, when I give you a promise, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. As they were about ready to go into the promised land, there was some reservation among them and apprehension among them. And so the Lord said to Moses, the leader of the people, said, you choose out from among the people a group of men, and we're going to send them over into the promised land so that they can see for themselves what kind of a land it is and where it is that I'm going to give them. And you may remember then that the people chose 12 men, and they were men that were leaders in each of the tribes, and they sent them over. Moses did into the land and had them spy it out, and they came back and they made a report, and I many times talk about it as being a majority report and a minority report. The Bible says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron. Now this is after they've been over and spied out the land, from the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, and then I'm going to be reading mostly out of the 14th chapter. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to the Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now, while they were there, they had taken some of the products of that country and brought them back with them. And they came back and they gave the report, and they said, it's exactly as the Lord had said. It is what that we had been told it was going to be. And quite honestly, it exceeded their expectations. Nevertheless, now I want you to always notice this. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are well walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, they came back and they gave the report. And they had done a good job of what they had been sent over there to do. There are many times that God's people are working and they're doing a good job, but every so often there'll be something that comes along that throws a stumbling block in their way, or becomes a hurdle that they feel that's, or an obstacle that they feel is insurmountable. And so they back off. They lose their confidence. They lose their faith. And the Lord had promised these people. He said, I'm going to give this land to you. You're not going to have to go in there and work for it. You're not going to go in there and fight for it. You're not going to go in there and do anything. I'm going to give it to you. And yet, when they went over there, they came back and said, you know, the land is as the Lord had said, and as we've heard, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a plentiful land. It was a productive land. Remember, they had been in Egypt for some 400 years, been down there in servitude. They've been out here now in the desert wandering around, and they've had all kinds of complications and all kinds of problems. Let me assure you this morning that most every one of us in our lives have had some complications. Most of us have had some challenges. Most of us have been in the situation where that we needed the help of the Lord, and most of us, many times, rather than allowing Him to help us, have tried to do the things that way we want to do it, or that we see it as something that is just insurmountable, and that we're not able to allow Him to lead us. Don't think for a second that we are much different than those people in those days were. We like to think that we're a smarter people, we're a better people, and that we know how to do things better than anyone who's ever done before us. But unfortunately, we're much like those people in our lives today, that whenever that we can look around and we can see other people, that we can say, oh yes, that applies to them, but it's not applicable to me. Let me assure you this morning that for most of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we're not a lot different than the children of Israel were. We see what God's blessings can be. We know that He's able to help us through the situation, but we fail to allow Him to do it. They say, oh, listen, it's exactly as you had described it. However, those people down there are powerful people. They're a great multitude of people. Now listen to what he says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Here comes the minority report. The first one that you've heard here is the majority report. There are going to be these men who come back here, and they make their report, and they've given the report now to Moses. And then Caleb, he steals the people before Moses and says, let us go up at once. Let's go now. Let's go in and possess it. The Lord is going to give it to us, and we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now I want you to get that picture. These men said, man, we went over there, and those people, that land will eat us up. You know, those people will destroy us. They will consume us. How many times had the Lord already demonstrated His love for this, His people, His chosen people? How many times as they had wandered around out there and they had had one difficulty after another and faced one obstacle after another that the Lord had provided for them? And once again, He said unto them, I'm going to give you the land. This is the land that I promised to your forefathers. I promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you are going to be the ones who are going to inherit it. Let me assure you this morning that each one of us who are here this morning as one of God's children are the recipient of those people who have been before us, who did not give up, who did not fall down in their responsibility to see that the word continued to be preached and to practice so that people like you and I could be saved, that we could hear the gospel and that we could have the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts and our lives. And so we have a responsibility today, each one of us as a child of God, as a church, as a member of this church, even more so the responsibility to see that the word goes on here and that we trust the Lord that He is able to help us to do the job that is before us to be done. That we don't as it's so easy the case to get discouraged and then to decide that we can't do it. And that we feel like that we're, as the people did, that the report was given, so we're grasshoppers compared to those giants. You know, I like to hear people get up and quote the scripture, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I don't like to see them do it, but they turn right around and fall flat on their face. So I know doggone well they didn't any more believe what they were saying than I do many times. And I don't quote that very often because I realize there's not much I can do. But let me assure you that we do have a part that we can do. And with the Lord's help, we can get the job done. And we need to rely upon Him instead of relying so much upon our own selves, our own wisdom, our own strength, and to rely upon Him and to trust Him. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now they're upset with Moses and Aaron. They're upset with Moses and Aaron because they've let them out here. Now they're just going to die. They're going to be destroyed. Let me assure you this morning that many times I recognize that I have to carry and bear some of the responsibility. And sometimes you get upset with me and you get disgusted with me in the preaching of the word. And I understand that. I understand that. But it does not relieve me of the responsibility to preach the word. I love to be able to get up and to preach glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. But that's not my responsibility. My responsibility to you is to preach to you all of the word from in the beginning in the book of Genesis to Amen and Revelation. It is not my responsibility to just try to make you feel good. My responsibility is to help you to understand that as a child of God, that there is more to being a child of God than filling a pew. That there is more to being a child of God than just escaping hell. That while we are down here upon the earth, that God expects, and not only expects, but instructs us that we are to let our lives shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's my responsibility, to see that you don't get this idea that all you've got to do is just come to church once a week and that you fulfilled your obligation to the Lord, because that will not get the job done, folks. I guarantee you that. And I promise you from the word of the Lord that if that's what you're depending on and that's what you're expecting on, you're going to be sorely disappointed in the time that you spend down here. God desires to bless us as His children, but I'll guarantee you that for blessings to come, there must be something that we've done to be deserving of those rewards and those blessings as His children. Now then, the people, as they listen to these reports, they listen to both the reports of the minority and the majority, and they listen to the majority in this case, and it's, oh, you know what? It's terrible. God has led us out here to just let us die. You, Moses and Aaron, have led us out here, and we're going to die out here. We'd have been better off if we'd have stayed down there in Egypt. How many times do I hear people say, oh, I'd have been better off if I'd have just stayed back there. An old so-and-so church, or I'd be back there. I could go back. Let me tell you something. You cannot go back. I don't care how much you like to think about going back. You cannot go back. There's nothing to go back to. Now let's get that in our heads. We've got right now, today, and that's all we've got. I don't even know whether we're going to get through the day. There'll be a lot of people who won't get through the day. I may be one of them. I don't know. But I'll guarantee you this one thing, that while we have today, we need to take advantage of it and do the work that the Lord has left for us to do as His children. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. We like to think about tomorrow. We like to look forward to tomorrow. Plan it all out. We get it all done. But let me tell you something. There's not a single one of us who knows that we're going to have it. Week after week, Tim and I were just talking last night. Man, this community has been hit hard in the last little bit with deaths in our community. And almost every time I pick up the paper, I notice even again this morning as I looked at the paper, there's another one in the community who has passed away. and there's more that haven't even made the paper. But let me assure you this morning that each and every one of us are going to go through that same thing one of these days, and we don't know when it's going to be. What we do know is that we have right now. And these people said, oh, we'd have been better off if we could just die down there in Egypt. You know what? They'd prayed for years and years to get out of it. They wanted to be out of Egypt. They didn't want to be down there. They were not happy while they were down there. There are some people who you can't make happy. I don't care if the Lord himself was to come and sit down beside and put his arms around them. They'd mumble and grumble about something. He's holding too tight, or they wasn't doing something the way they thought he should. You couldn't please them no matter what. I hope that's not one of our people here. I look around at all of you, and I don't see anybody that way, but you may be one of them, and I don't know it. But let me tell you something this morning. Listen to what the Word says. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said, wondering, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Yeah, let's just make it. We're tired of following this old boy. Got us out here and got us in trouble. Now then, let's just get us somebody else. Let's get a different leader. Lead us in a different direction. I'm sure there are times that some of you have that same thought. I tell you every once in a while, you need to be thinking about a new leader. You do really do. Because I'm not going to be here much longer. That's just a fact of life, you know. I'm not going to make it as long as Moses did. I'm not going to make it as long as some of the old prophets did. You know, I kiddingly said to you that Moses didn't start till he was 80 years old. Well, I'm sure that if you read the Word of the Lord, you know, that's an exception, not the rule anymore. Let me assure you this morning, there have been times so that there are some of you probably thought, we need somebody different. We need some fresh blood. We need a younger preacher in there. And I don't disagree with you for one second. Single second. All I say is all you got to do, just go get them. Go get them. I've never been so concerned about my job as a preacher of the gospel. I'm scared of this. Somebody's going to get my job. The Lord's got plenty of work for me to do wherever I'm at. I'm thankful that I'm able to work right here. But let me assure you that the time's going to come whenever that I'm not going to have the say, and you probably won't have the say. The Lord's going to do just like he did with these people. He's going to let them have their say. He's going to let them have their way. But then he's going to intercede himself. They said, oh, let's just get us another man. Let's get us to lead us back down to Egypt there. Can you believe they really wanted to go back to Egypt? Of course they didn't want to. They had prayed seriously to get out of there. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delighted us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Listen to what they said. They said, listen, the Lord is with us. He's not with them. But I'm going to guarantee you before I finish, well, I may finish before I get all of it read. You're going to have to read more of the 14th chapter. I can see that, and I'm going to get read to you. But I want you to understand this. There comes a point in time when the Lord is not with them. The Lord tells them to do something, and they don't want to do it. They want to go ahead. Now they've decided they're going to go in, and they'll fight the battle themselves. You know what happened to them? Yeah. They decided they'd go ahead and do it themselves. They went out there and they fought and they got whipped. They got defeated. They got beat. I say, if it tells me how many there were. No, it doesn't say how many. But they were defeated. Now, let me back up. Let me get on this. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Let me tell you something this morning. The final prophet of the Lord, whenever he had the people all gathered together there at Mount Carmel, and he said unto them, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Balaam be God, then follow him." You make the decision as to which you're going to follow. Jesus said in his word, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to serve one or the other. And every single one of us this morning are following either the Spirit of the Lord or we're following the spirit of Satan, the devil. There's no other two about it. There aren't any others. Those are two. Oh, they say, "Oh, there are all kinds of spirits in the world." You're right, but you know who they are of? There's only one spirit of God. There are a lot of spirits of the devil out there, and a lot of people are falling after them. But let me assure you this morning, the Lord, he's looking and he's saying, "How long? How long am I going to put up with this? How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now, here's a good one. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Yeah, the Lord's going to keep his promises, don't you doubt it. And he'll fulfill them to a jot and to a tittle. But he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I preached about repentance last week. You have to do it. "I will smite them." This is what the Lord says now to Moses. "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." You know what the Lord said? I'll just smite them. I'll just wipe them out. How long am I going to continue this? I'll just wipe them out. And I'll just speak the word. Because that's what God did in the beginning. Anyway, he spoke the word. And man came into existence. You know, these things are just impossible for us to do. And probably for most of the time for us to comprehend. But all God has to do is speak the word. Did you know that this world today is just held by one word? That's the word of God. When he finally speaks the word one of these days, the fireworks are going to begin, folks. I'll guarantee you by his word they are. But right now, they're still being reserved. He still has them and has not spoken them yet. But when he speaks the word, it's going to begin to happen. God said to Moses, "How long are they going to keep this up? I'll just wipe them out. I'll use a pestilence and just wipe them out. And I'll give you another nation, a greater nation, and mightier than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face. And that thy cloud standeth over them. And that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness." Moses said, "Oh Lord, you know what's going to happen. All these people already know about you. They already know about this people. They know that they're coming up here to take over this land. That reputation has preceded them. They already know what you've been doing as you've brought them up out of the land of Egypt, the miracles that you've performed, how that you've led them by day and by night. They know these things, and they know you're coming. And if you wipe this people out, you know what they're going to say? He couldn't deliver. He couldn't deliver." I wonder how many of our people today still have that same concept that the Lord can't deliver. He can't get the job done. Sometimes we act like it. Sometimes we behave like it. Sometimes we may even think like it. But let me assure you, he is still God Almighty, and he still has the power, and it's within his power to do as he pleases. Moses says, "Lord," you know, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say he couldn't deliver. He couldn't fulfill what he started the day. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, that the nations which heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. I never read this, and what I don't always think of Shirley, my wife, who used to say to me, now listen, she said, I've heard Jim get up and preach a lot of times that whenever that he was in his earlier days of preaching and he was concerned about his children, that the Lord one time gave him the scripture, if you're faithful, I will save your children and your children's children, even unto the third and the fourth generation. Shirley said, I want to know where that is. I said, well, it's in there. It's in there. Because I'll tell you what, I believe what Jim preached was gospel. Some of you people knew him. Most of you didn't, but some of you knew him. And old Jim probably could quote more scripture than any other man that I've ever seen. And I've seen him get up, you know, and he wouldn't even have a Bible open. Now, you couldn't probably tell it from where you were sitting, but I could see it from where I was. Well, this morning I'm going to read from the 32nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and he'd start out and just be going along, you know. He wasn't reading anything. He was quoting it all from memory. But I said, it's in there. She said, well, I want to know where it's at. I've been looking for it, and I can't find it. I said, well, I'll find it. And I searched. And I searched, and I searched, and I didn't find it. I said, you ask Jim where it is. I can't find it. And she asked Jim, and he never did give her an answer. Well, I think what happens is like that I do sometimes. Y'all have heard me say how I preached the text here at Elkton one time, my first pastor here. Let us forsake our evil ways, seek the paths of our forefathers, and walk therein. Sounds like a good text, doesn't it? Sounds scriptural, doesn't it? Let us forsake our evil ways, seek the paths of our forefathers, and walk therein. And boy, I just preached that, and I was so proud of it. As soon as the service was over, here comes Chloe Bain. Chloe says to me, where's that at? What scripture is that? I said, oh, I'll have to look it up for you. I'll have it for you tonight. Now, I'm running a little over time this morning. I'm going to finish real quick. I went home and I looked all afternoon. I couldn't find it. The best that I could come up with is I'd taken a part of one verse and a part of another verse and put them together and made a verse of my own. And I had to come back and admit it. Well, now, it doesn't say here that he will save the children to the third and the fourth generation, but it does talk about that he will not clear the guilt of visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now I've got to stop. I'm over time. But go home and read the rest of this chapter. And here's what you're going to find out. Lord says, you know what? I'm going to keep my promise to the forefathers. I'm going to take my people into the land of promise. But these people are not going to get to go because they did not believe me. They're going to spend 40 years out here, and anyone over the age of 20 is going to die. They're not going to go into the promised land. Anyone under 20 could possibly be in that group that would go over. But because these people did not believe me, and because these people wanted to do things their own way, they're not going to get to going, saving the minority reporters. Yeah. Let me tell you something. God is going to see that His word is fulfilled to a jot and to a tittle, people. His work will be done with or without us. Don't you doubt for a second. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't know what we'll do when you're gone. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go right on. You're going to continue to do the work. Your work that's to be done is not dependent upon me. Your work to be done here is dependent upon the Lord. And I have every confidence in the Lord. Every confidence. A lot more confidence in Him than I even do you. And I have a lot of confidence in you people. I love this people. I love this church. And I believe that it will go on. But it'll take the Lord. I'll guarantee you that. And the day that we think that we can do it without Him, we're in trouble.